Scripture alone. Listen to these words from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In the name of the Word, dear brothers and sisters, certainly our hearts go out and our prayers go up for those affected by the hurricane and rains in Houston and surrounding areas. I have personal friends affected by this. Maybe you do too. When we see such things, it reminds us of the power of water. Water is awesome and a gift, but if water is not contained properly and channeled properly, if a levee breaks, water can be a destructive, awful force. Or on the other extreme, if water cannot be accessed, such as in times of drought, which our nation has also undergone in various parts recently, then destruction can happen as well. To live, we need a regular, constant channel, source of water that will not destroy us. How do we live forever? How do we live with God? How do we have a relationship with God? How do we know who He is and how He feels about us? Those are the biggest questions of life that every generation asks. And Martin Luther's generation asked those same questions. But the answers given in most places were not very good. One of the ideas was that, well, the church itself, a visible denomination, and the head of that visible church kind of owned all the water, so to speak. And what he would do was he'd give a little water to the other higher-ups in the church, and they would kind of pass it down until it got to the priests. And if you wanted some of that spiritual water, God's love, God's forgiveness, you would go to the priests, and you would be quiet and do whatever they told you to do. And maybe if you did it well enough, you'd have a little bit of God's water, God's forgiveness. Other ideas floating around were, well, you never really knew where that water was from. It was kind of like a mist or a vapor. And maybe if you prayed hard enough, you could feel God's presence. Or if you tried hard enough, or if you asked Him nicely to find you, maybe He would. But you could never really be sure, but you try to feel Him in some kind of way. But as a man named Martin Luther thought about those things and even tried those things, he realized that didn't really work very well. That wasn't a constant source of water for his soul. He never knew if he was getting enough or if he was getting close enough to God or where God really was. But then, as he was forced to read the Bible, it was his job after all. He was a priest and then a professor of theology. As he was forced to read the Bible, he realized, the water was right in front of him all along. Through Scripture alone, through the Word of God alone, God has chosen to come and connect our hearts to His through a beautiful channel, a beautiful pipeline. The gospel message that Jesus loves us is given to us in the Bible and in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And that's a constant flowing source. We don't have to wonder where God is or how we might know about Him, but as the children in Sunday school will learn and probably sing this year, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what you have. That's what connects your heart to God. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And this isn't just words. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When you bring your children to Sunday school, when you read the Word at home, when you hear it here, God has breathed upon that Word. God is working through that Word. And God, powerfully with the Holy Spirit, is connecting your heart to His and pouring His water of life and truth and grace upon you day by day. Ah, how wonderful.
drink up.
We thank God for the gift of His Word, Scripture alone, where we find Him. As we sing hymn 293, God's Word is our great heritage. This is printed out in your worship folder. Branch's band will sing through this hymn once. The congregation will join to repeat the verse. By faith alone. Listen to these words from John 20. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Martin Luther's journey to find who God is and how he felt about Him had many ups and downs. When Luther became a monk, he tried to do more and more and more and more and more and more to appease an angry God. A God who was demanding that he be righteous. But the more that Luther did, the more Luther realized that there was still more to do. And that he couldn't do enough. This might sound a little extreme, but Luther began to hate. He said, how can a God demand that I am righteous, for I cannot do it? But then as Luther went back to Scripture alone, he read in Romans chapter 1, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And a light bulb went on. As Luther was studying this in his tower office, he started to realize the righteousness that God demands be perfect, He also gives. Because Jesus Christ was righteous in Martin Luther's place and in your place and in mine too. So that in a harassed life where you feel overworked and overbusy and overstressed and guilty and that you're never measuring up for what you should do, in Christ you are all that you need to be. You are righteous from God. How does this come to you? Simply through faith alone. faith, like a hand that God just puts a diamond in and says, here. Faith. Not really even a work that you do for Him, but a gift from Him. Faith. Something that says, God loves me. Created by Scripture alone. When Martin Luther realized, I'm saved by faith alone. I am righteous from God alone. He said it was as if the gates of heaven were thrown open. And life changed. For now he realized that God was not out to destroy his life, but through Jesus to give him life now and forever. Just as Jesus reminded him and us in John chapter 20. But these are written, every word of Scripture is written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You have life now and forever by faith alone in Christ alone. Let's praise Him for that. We do this as we sing the words of our next hymn. Hymn 404, Faith is a Living Power from Heaven. Branch's band will sing verse 1. The congregation will join on the remaining verses. Grace alone, Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Martin Luther grew up and lived in what is now Germany. German Americans are the largest immigrant group in the United States of America. My family has German lineage in it. Maybe many of you do as well. And if you are very perceptive about culture, you'll notice that grandiose expressions of emotion are not really high on the list of German attributes or values. An old saying says, this is one of the highest compliments that you can pay a German. He went to his mother's funeral and he didn't even cry. In other words, Not showing emotion is kind of a German type thing. And in the church that Martin Luther grew up in Germany and other parts of Europe, that was especially true when it came to one truth or teaching. The answer to the question, do you think that you will be in heaven when you die? It was considered a sin to have too much of the emotion of confidence in answering that question. In other words, if someone asked you, if you die tonight and stand in front of God's presence, will He let you into heaven? And you say, yes, I'm sure of it. That is arrogance. Will you go to heaven when you die? The proper answer was, I don't know. I probably haven't done enough good works. And Martin Luther grew up in that setting and in that culture, and he lived it and he breathed it, never being certain whether he could really do enough for God or if God had really done enough to save him. Martin Luther loved the book of Romans that I quoted from in our last meditation, but he also realized in Ephesians chapter 2, we have one of the clearest messages to calm our uncertain hearts and to calm our emotions of fear and dread, wondering, can we really be loved by God or saved? These words, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. How can I be certain that I'm going to heaven? Martin Luther realized the beautiful news. It has nothing to do with me. It's not from myself. It's not because of what I've done. It's not because of the GPA that I've earned or the job that I hold or the savings that I have. It's not because of all the wonderful moral works that I can show that I do and my scuzzy neighbor doesn't. It's only because I was born wretched and dead in sin, but God, out of boundless mercy, reached out and found me and saved me and forgave me. It's because Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of my sins before He asked my opinion about that. It's by grace alone, which means undeserved love. This truth of Scripture, that God loves me just because, flies way above my human reason. But I must do something? No, God did everything. Perhaps the closest parallel in human life we can think of is a newborn baby screaming its little head off at 2 a.m, and mom and dad still comes to feed it and change it. Why? Because they feel so fulfilled and happy at 2 a.m.? No. Why? Because they just love it. Just because. Why did God die for you and rise again? Because you're so cute. Because He knew what a wonderful, nice little life you'd live. No! Because He knew how wretched and sinful you are and I am too. And He said, I'm going to do something about that. By grace alone, I will live, die, rise, and give it all to them so that their hearts can be at rest. And so that, yes, they can be filled with emotions such as happiness and even better, fruits of the Spirit such as joy and peace. By grace alone you are saved. Rejoice, even if you're German. We respond to this good news of our God as we sing, as we hear the Branches Band sing this wonderful hymn that reminds us of God's grace, Amazing Grace. Christ alone. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am happy that when I ask my GPS for directions, my GPS does not say, oh, I don't know. Why don't you pick a way? I mean, all ways are pretty much equal. All roads basically lead to the same place, don't they? Where do you feel like going? I'm happy my GPS doesn't do that. Why? Because all roads don't lead to the same place. And if I tried to navigate life like that, I would end up in some bad places. Maybe some dangerous places too. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't say, oh, you know, all religions basically all lead to the same place. Why don't you just pick one and go with it? It's all fine. He doesn't say that because it's not true. I don't say this to be arrogant or condescending or close-minded. But I say it because when you look at what Jesus teaches in the Bible, not what other people claim that Jesus teaches, but what Jesus actually teaches in the Bible, you see something that's unique amongst the collection of world religions. Instead of a God looking down upon mortals and saying, sacrifice to get near me, you see a God coming down to mortals who sacrifices himself so that they can be with him forever. You see someone who lives and dies for those who don't deserve it and makes them a new creation. Someone who by grace alone says, I give you all. Someone who says, I want you to be my friends. I want us to be at one forever. And I want you to be certain of where you will be. That's why it's beautiful news when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a world of noise and confusion, Jesus' voice breaks through and says, here I am. I'm the one you need. In me alone, I will give you life forever. I will give you forgiveness. I will give you worth. I will give you hope. I will give you a future, and I will give you a room that is being prepared for you right now. That is your name written all over it. Because I have your name written in the palm of my hands. You know him. You know the way. In Christ alone, you have all you need. Rejoice. Join me to praise him who is the way, the truth, the life. As we sing hymn 752, In Christ Alone, again printed for you in your worship folder, Branches Band will sing verse 1. The congregation will join on the remaining verses. Please stand. Glory to God alone. Jude 1:25. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. There is a terrible factory that needs to be shut down. I can't stand it. I can't stand what it produces. It's located in my heart. Its product, idols. When you hear the word idol, maybe you think of a little stone statue or piece of wood from long ago or present day, but far away. But that's not the only type of idol there can be. In fact, an idol doesn't have to be a statue. An idol doesn't have to be something that's necessarily good or bad. But an idol is something that gets in the way of God. Martin Luther said, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. Whatever I might honor, love, and trust in above all things that's not God could be an idol. It could be money. It could be fame. It could be popularity. It could be pleasure. It could be my own perceived goodness. It could be my own perceived badness, doubting that God is telling the truth, that He could really forgive and love someone like me." But here's good news. God is in the business of destroying idol factories and idols. And through Scripture alone, He comes to me with the powerful message of the law, and He exposes the idols of my heart, some that I didn't even realize I was hiding down in there for years, and He brings them forth. And I repent of them, and He crushes them in that word. But then through that word alone, He heals my heart. And that empty spot where that idol was, He puts in and replaces with something better. His love, His life, His grace, His presence. Where my idol factory was, He builds a temple. Through Scripture alone, He creates faith that alone grasps on to all the beautiful promises He gives to me. And then I realize it is by grace alone, His undeserved love, that I am saved. So I don't need to exchange trinkets for treasures. I don't need to cry that my idols go away. I can cry for joy that my Savior stays now and forever. Because in Jesus alone, I have life now and forever. Jesus lived, died, and rose again. He's coming back to take Him to be with me. And then He sets me free from a lifetime of trying to pursue my own glory and my own idol. He sets me free from slavery to self-worship and idol worship, and sets me free to worship Him forever and reflect His glory like a light shining to the world. And one day He says, "I will shine like the stars as I see Him shining like the sun in the glory of heaven." He gave all of this to you because He loves you. Which means that all of our life now, thank God, can be lived to His glory alone. And that we can say with Jude, "To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." We respond to this word of our God with the hymn, "Not to Us, Lord," based on Psalm 115. You'll see the directions for singing verses is printed on page 14 of your worship folder.
Not to us, Lord, not unto us, but to Your because of